Maybe my family's weird, but we don't drink on Christmas morning.
I've never drank on Christmas morning.
That's fun. Yeah, it's like straight out of the Christmas, the movie, A Christmas Story.
Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Episode 13 today. Hit me, Jared. There we go. We're having fun with it. We don't have a super serious plan for today, but it's all right. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah, I think we only got a couple things.
I will say, I'm proud of you, Jared, for finally getting a boom mic instead of using the little tabletop mount for it.
Well, you know, the tabletop mount is nice because I can lean back and bring the mic up to me, and now I kind of got to lean forward.
If you just clip that mic somewhere else, you'll be all right, or move the table slightly closer to you.
Yeah, or if we had like an actual recording studio.
Well, there's that. In case you were surprised by the fact that we don't have a studio, we just record in Jared's living room. So,
yep.
That's all right.
We can switch to my basement at some point.
Yeah, the problem with that is now I got to drive all the way to your house.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
And then I got to drive.
Right.
Yeah, so. But it's great for you, I'm sure.
It would be great for me.
It's pretty great, Justin, not going to lie.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
You just stay up as late as you want.
Yeah.
True. So, let's get right into it. The Total Archery Challenge event. Okay. I will say, it is probably my favorite weekend of the year, the past couple of years. I mean, we prepared for it pretty well this year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Justin didn't even get to go.
I didn't. I couldn't get tickets. I tried.
Yeah. I mean, I only got the one day.
Yeah.
I was able to shoot all 3 days, I think, somehow. Maybe I didn't shoot Sunday. Maybe I just shot like exhibition events or something like that. But it was a big bummer, dude. It really sucked. Because the event in Michigan has got so big. It's just unfortunate. For context clues, if you don't know what we're talking about, the Total Archery Challenge is an event that is put on. They go to different ski resorts all over the country. And I don't even think they're all at ski resorts. But different locations all over the country. And basically the premise is you hike around and shoot a 3D style course. But it's kind of extreme conditions. It's not a typical 3D course. So it rather than having your shots range from like 25 to 45 yards, your shots are usually like 35 to 75 yards on like a medium difficulty course. Right. And the harder courses are usually like 60 to like 140 this year.
Yeah.
So it's just a 3D archery event with a lot more intensity behind it, and they travel all over the place. There's also a bunch of vendors and things, you know, different groups of people that are there. Lancaster Archery was there. Chris B had his own tent this year right next to Ultra View. Painted Arrow was there. Obviously, Rec Broadheads was there. Kafaru's been there.
Yeah, pretty much any vendor that's worth a shit is there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, dude. Matthews only goes like once every couple years.
Oh, really?
Hoyt was there. I think Hoyt was there this year. Prime was there, but they weren't like, there was a Prime booth because Prime is a partner of the Total Archery Challenge. Yeah. And we'll get into the new Prime bows. I know you're excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
But Prime had been a partner with the Total Archery Challenge, and they had a booth there that they were showing off like the newer bows and whatnot. But it's not Prime. Sorry, PSE is their partner. So Prime wasn't there. But PSE I thought was really weird because they didn't have like a rep there. It was just like a couple of their like factory staff, you know, like sponsor guys, I think, that were like, it was really weird.
Some random people.
I didn't feel like it was professionally set up versus like the Matthews and the Hoyt booths. When Matthews was there, it was different. But also, like, if Chris B is going to be there, that's basically the Matthews rep. Like, you go see the new bow, like all that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's a little bit of that. But exciting news for Michigan Total Archery Challenge shooters. There's going to be three different events this year in Michigan. So one is in Snow River, which is a like Wisconsin / Michigan event. It's in the Upper Peninsula. I think it's right on the border.
It's pretty much right on the border, yeah.
And then they're also doing an event at Crystal Mountain. And they're going back to Boyne Mountain, which I'm really excited for, the Boyne event, because Boyne is a bigger hill than Crystal.
Yeah, the one at Boyne was that's the one I went to, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and it was...
Yeah, it would have had to have been like 4 or 5 years ago, because I've been... This will be... Yeah, it would have had to have been at least 4 years ago.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I almost went skiing at Snow River, I think it was last year.
Oh,
and
really?
I was looking at the photos and stuff there. They have, like, a really nice base. Like,
oh,
nice chalet-style lodge and whatnot, and a pretty good-sized hill. So that one could be pretty interesting.
It the UP from, one... From the pictures, it looked super
it's
cool.
It's super cool because yeah. You go shoot... That's the part I love about the Total Archery Challenge is, like, you get to see more than just the ski hill. So... Like, all of the pictures from Snow River, they were showing, like, the cool rock features of the Upper Peninsula, which I really enjoy. Like, that's what I really enjoy about the Upper Peninsula is it feels more like a mountain, which I know kind of sounds goofy, but it's just a cooler scenery than, you know, a grassy hill, which is what we shoot around here.
Right.
So it feels a little bit more authentic, I guess. You know, like I would love to go do like Big Sky Montana or the Utah event, but there's so many people trying to get tickets to those. I mean, you'd have to be, I don't even know. You can't even get into Michigan.
Right.
Which is why they're doing
three events
this year. Sean, who is the owner of the Total, you know, he runs the whole deal. He had talked about doing, he's like, yeah, we need to do, you know, more Michigan events, whatever. And they introduced, I don't know if it was at Snow River last year, I don't remember, or if it was a different location, but they had introduced that UP event last year, and we almost went to it because it was in August.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, with Crystal Mountain and Boyne, they're like back-to-back. So I think Boyne is, and you'll have to double-check me, but I believe... The Crystal event is June 6th, and then, or sorry, the Boyne event starts June 6th, and then the Crystal event is the week after that. So that part's really cool, but I don't know. Jared, you going to shoot it with us this year?
Yeah, plan on it.
Okay. We got to be...
Definitely want to do the UP one.
Yeah, we got to be smart about it because we have to buy tickets. Early registrations in like February.
So Crystal Mountain is June 13th and through the 15th.
Yep.
And then, oh, that's the only one that they have announced yet.
No, they announced Boyne.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not on their website.
You gotta go to their Instagram. I'm pretty sure it's June 6th.
Why the fuck would they not have it on their website, but they have it on the Instagram?
I don't know, dude. Do I look like, yeah, so Boyne Mountain, June 6th through the 8th, 2025. The caption for their post was just mic drop. They knew people were going to be excited to go back to Boyne. Yeah. Everyone's been hassling them to go back to Boyne because it's a bigger event. They can allow more shooters. They can have more vendors. Yeah, you know, the courses are longer.
They have a sweet setup there.
Well, the thing is, at Crystal, because the events are supposed to have 25 targets. That's what the scorecard shows. But at Crystal, the courses are only 20 targets long. And that's the part that really sucks because... You don't have an opportunity to shoot as much as you would. You know, like dollar value, arrow for dollar value, if we're going to come up with a term for it, it makes more sense to shoot the Boyne event as a shooter. But I know they got into some weird stuff with, I think it was actually the COVID year. They were trying to make an event work and they just couldn't do it at Boyne. Something happened. And then Boyne was going through a bunch of construction and stuff like that. And so they ended up moving it to Crystal. But having it in both locations, I think, is going to be really cool. I'm excited. I'll definitely go to the event, even if we don't get an opportunity to shoot. I'll definitely go to both Boyne and Crystal. But we're going to have to kind of play it by ear. The Snow River one would be really cool, but we'll definitely have to take time off work to do that.
Yeah. I still think the coolest UP location would be Mount Bohemia.
Yeah, Mount Bohemia would be cool.
There's like no... They have runs, but they're not runs, you know? Like, yeah, it's all backcountry wood skiing.
You know, I just saw
it's
going to
be like hunting in the woods, 3D archery.
Yeah, that's
course.
Awesome. Yeah.
And it's rocky and cliffs, and there's a lake cool. nearby. They've got waterfalls and stuff. Like, it's cool.
That'd be really cool.
Crystal had that one. Well, you didn't shoot Crystal, but I shot when the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation had their course at Crystal. They had one that was basically a cliff. I mean, it was a dirt cliff, but it was a vertical drop.
Yeah.
And you were shooting at a bedded bull elk down in the bottom. It was like a 53-yard shot. And I'm like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Because you're pointing so far down.
They had one at Boyne. We were up on a ledge, and it was like you shot over this pond.
Yeah.
And then there was a little peninsula that they had a kind of like a standing elk on.
Yeah.
It was like up on a boulder or something.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 86 yards across, like down and across this pond.
And you're shooting it with a trad bow.
I shot it in the butt.
Nice.
Which was pretty good for 86 yards shooting across this pond.
It's like my caribou at the Northwoods event this year.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. On every shot.
But I just read a thing about the best ski hills in Michigan, and Mount Bohemia was rated number one.
For destinations, like destination ski hills in the U.S.,
sure.
They're rated in the top 10, I'm pretty sure. And then the other thing is, like, I'm just imagining some of the places that you could potentially set up a shot there, and it's their hills there, I think all of them are black diamond. They're all super steep. So you're going to be shooting downhill a lot, super steep shots.
You shoot down and uphill a lot of them.
And then the other nice thing is Mount Bohemia is huge. I mean, they own the entire hill. Like, it's not like just a face of the hill. You ski all 360 degrees of the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how Crystal is, too. You can ski pretty much, or you can...
I feel like Crystal's like three sides.
It might be three sides because I think the...
Because the road is right there.
Yeah, it's actually like the south... What would it be? Like the southwest side of it? Maybe almost directly south, I think, if I'm not turned around. They've got the road right there. But you shoot right alongside the road on the back course.
And then the other thing, Mount Bohemia also, I've never skied it because it's all like you got a skin ski, like kind of like mountaineering. You know?
Yeah.
There's no lift service, but they've got like another hill down across the road that's not as big as like the main ski area, but it's also pretty big and a lot thicker woods too. They've got some cedar swamps and stuff back there too.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited for skiing this year. Like I snowboard, but I'm excited to get back into it. I just think it's, you know, like, I feel like anybody who has grown up in the Midwest, or, you know, Michigan specifically for us, but there's just not a lot to do in the wintertime around here. It gets dark super early. It's there. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not as many activities. So something like skiing or snowboarding, it's just a really good way to waste time, have a good time.
I don't know. Up at Tech, like in the summer, we would go mountain biking and play disc golf. But in the winter, there's ice fishing, there's skiing, there's snowmobiling.
Well, the other thing is we don't get the snow down here to consistently go snowmobiling.
Yeah.
You might be able to go, you know, a couple days out of the year.
Some of my buddies would go snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, but that's too much exercise.
Yeah. Well, ice fishing, too. I mean... Number
we
one,
use
we don't.
Snowmobile.
Yeah, well, like, number one, it takes a while for the lakes to freeze enough to go ice fishing around here. But number two, number one, I'm not a great fisherman. And number two, I don't want to freeze my ass off and barely catch fish.
I thought I was the only one.
I got a portable shanty with a heater. It's cooking like you're sitting in a t-shirt in there.
That's great. You can fish.
Going,
I'll drink beer. How
grilling,
about that?
You get the grill going. And pretty much like the ice shanty, you got one jig pull and then you set two tip ups and you see a flag go up and
there you go.
So much fun.
I might do that. Honestly, to catch, what do you normally catch when you, well, do you fish around here?
Up there, we would always catch perch and walleye on a certain lake. And then up in Copper Harbor, we'd catch splake, which is like lake trout and brook trout.
Dude, if you caught a walleye around here while you were ice fishing and then grilled it in the shanty.
I don't think you can do that. I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Oh, really?
You can't flay it while you're fishing.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
The only reason I say that is because, like, one of the coolest things I've thought about for doing, like, the backpacking hunting trips, like, when you're, you know, camping on the mountain, is, like, when you're successful and you harvest and you pull out, like, the tenderloins and or the back straps and fry them up the night that you harvest. Like, that is so cool.
Like,
I want to do that.
It's probably not illegal, but I think it's kind of frowned upon because after you fillet it, you can't really measure the fish to see if it's legal.
Oh, that makes sense.
So if the DNR walked out and saw a gut pile, they'd be like,
I just cooked all these.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah, that's fair.
They were legal. Promise. No. And then fishing out in Keweenaw Bay, it hasn't frozen over in a while, but when it, I think my freshman year, it froze over. And, we would fish for whitefish and lake trout. A few times we went smelt fishing as well. But
dude, whitefish is good.
I love whitefish.
We never caught any.
Supposedly, I don't know if it is anymore, but I can remember back in the day it was. Supposedly, Birch Lake is really good for whitefish, ice fishing. I remember my dad coming home, and I was not very old. I was probably maybe 5. My dad came home with like a 5-gallon bucket full of whitefish. I was eating it with ketchup. This is a core memory.
Wow.
And my dad hasn't been ice fishing since. He's like, I just hate sitting in the cold. It's terrible.
Yeah.
If you have a shanty,
it's like
might
we,
not be
we were
bad,
in the cold. We would go ice fishing camping. Like we would stay overnight out on the ice.
Really?
Yeah, we had my buddy worked for Generac for a summer doing a co-op, so he got a discount on a generator.
Nice.
And we'd haul that thing out there, and then we had electric heaters so that we're not running a propane heater all night.
Yeah.
We'd run propane during the day and then switch over to electric at night. And I had a cot, and we had plywood that we'd lay over the ice. So we'd have one person be sleeping in the tub of the portable shanty.
Yeah.
One person be on the plywood, and then I'd had the cot was tucked kind of like into the tub a little bit and then over. It was like, it was funny.
You're about making everybody uncomfortable?
Yeah,
by
pretty
using
much.
Your cot?
Yeah, pretty much. But it was, we were able to sleep 3 people in the tent that way because I was elevated.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And then my buddy, he 3D printed a rattle reel that he set up overnight.
There you go.
Didn't catch jack off of it, but
that's a cool concept, though.
It was fun, though. I think our problem was we just didn't know how to whitefish fish. Like, we didn't know how to fish for them, especially in Keweenaw Bay, because it's, like, 250 foot of water.
Well, and
with a decent current. And I know for a fact that we didn't know what we were doing, because we were set up right next to my buddy. It was me and my brother in one shanty, and then my buddy and his friend were in the other shanty. And they caught, I think it was like 3 or 4 whitefish, and we didn't get a single bite.
Wow.
So.
I'm sure it's also different ice fishing versus, like, if you were to be out on a boat in the summertime fishing for whitefish.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, haven't fished for whitefish in a boat. Like,
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't do a lot of fishing from a boat, period.
I don't either.
I used to Except do it all for, the time growing up because we spent all summer out on a lake, but
yeah, I mean, I've when my parents had their boat, I did some bass fishing and we caught a couple of fish, but it's not something like kayak fishing is fun. It's very difficult in a normal kayak. I'm sure it'd be better in a fishing kayak if you had like the pedals.
Yeah, we used to go in a normal kayak. It just gets crowded. Yeah. I remember we would go pan fishing, walleye fishing, and just like anything fishing. It was we would do all sorts of stuff. We'd go trolling, yeah. drifting, set up a spot.
I like going bluegill fishing because there's a lot of action. Even though they're tiny,
mm-hmm. it's just so, oh, they can get big.
Oh, yeah.
Out ice fishing. So when I was really young, we had a permanent shanty on Lake Mitchell in Cadillac.
Wow.
And we would get, I mean, a few times there, we had probably 15, 20 people in our group.
Wow.
We had a perimeter of tip-ups. Like,
that's awesome.
Not just a perimeter, but a perimeter inside of that. It was like a target.
There you go.
We just had tip-ups freaking everywhere. The fish, like, if they weren't biting, they were going to get snagged in the tip-up snare. And people would get kind of close to us, and we had a guy who was, he would go and, like, yell at them and threaten to fight them. It was funny. He actually did chase some people off one time. And then, other than that, most people never really came around us because they were like, oh, those guys, what are they doing over there? But it was like a little honey hole. We would catch a 40-inch pike, and I think the biggest walleye that we got out of there was like 26 or 27 inches.
Wow.
And then we would catch, I regularly caught 14-inch crappie.
Wow.
Yeah.
My first fish was a walleye.
Yeah?
First fish really? I ever caught. Yeah, it was like, I think it was like 22 inches. We were in Ishpeming. There's a, it's not a state park, but it's set up like Interlochen State Park. You know what I'm talking about, Jared?
In Ishpeming?
In Ishpeming, yeah.
No.
There's a campground in Ishpeming, but they've, anyway, they got this little dock, or like boat launch thing. And I was fishing off of that late at night with my brother. Like, the sun was setting. Yeah, first fish. It's pretty cool. And then there was a guy that was there. Like, obviously, I was, I don't know, it's probably 9, maybe 10 years old or something like that. And I didn't know anything about, like, I didn't know it was a walleye. And this guy comes up, he's like, oh, yeah, nice fish, whatever, blah, blah, you got to measure it, you know, this and that. And he's like, are you going to keep it? And I was like, I don't know, like, do people keep these fish? He goes, yeah, it's a walleye. That's really good eating. And I was like, you can have it if you want. And he's like, okay, like, thanks, you know, appreciate it, whatever. Takes the fish off, go back to camp, whatever. I'm talking to my dad. I was like, yeah, I caught a fish. Oh, really? Yeah. There, somewhere there's a picture of it. And he's like, oh, you caught a walleye. I was like, yeah, the guy wanted to eat it, whatever. He goes, why would you give it away? You should have brought it back here. I was like, dude, I didn't know any better. Like,
right.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
I remember up in the UP, our secret lake we always went to. I don't really care because I'm not up there anymore. It was Rice Lake. And kind of if you're heading out towards Gay from Lake Linden, it does not get deep. Like 16 foot, maybe the deepest. And most of the time you're in like 8 foot, 6 foot. And the water's freaking brown. Like it's a gross lake, but we would always catch couple big walleye and a fair amount of big perch, and we'd go home, fry them up. It was always so much fun. And then I remember I was telling my mom about it, and she Googled Rice Lake, and she found out. She's like, oh yeah, you're not supposed to eat like fish from that lake more than once a month.
Oh
yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah.
What was it, like an old septic, like
no,
sewage
no, no.
lake or something?
Like no, lead, it wasn't. It was. It wasn't a sewage lake. It was just like, Gay has a beach where they dumped all of the stamp sand into Lake Superior, and the stamp sand they used to use arsenic to leach the copper out of the rock.
Hell yeah,
yeah. So a lot of the lakes up there, same thing with Lake Linden. There's a ton of like it's a lot of the water up there is really dirty. Everyone jokes about like a. All the tech students are like, oh, yeah, don't swim in the Portage Canal. Everyone does. They're like, yeah, but if you do, go shower right away afterwards and do not drink any. Don't even accidentally get in your mouth, nothing. Like, it's bad.
Is it that bad?
Yeah. They put all these stamp mills and smelting workshop or whatever, all these different, you know, industrial buildings right along the water, and they just dump shit in the lake.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird that people got away with that shit for so long.
Even
where, was like that for a long time.
Even where I worked at Coppers, back when they first started Peninsula Copper Industry, they were like they used anhydrous ammonia to dissolve copper, and then they, you know, do some other stuff with
kill
it.
Kill all of the fish in the water.
Probably can't talk about on the podcast secrets and whatnot. But anyways,
did you sign an NDA?
I can't remember, so that's why I'm not going to why I'm not going to talk about it too much. But anyways, it creates this really bad blue liquid that kills wildlife.
Yeah.
And they would just, you know, they had this big hole in the middle of the chemical plant. We call it the trench. And Coppers is very good. They're very environmentally friendly. They've done a lot of work to make it better. They sealed off the trench. They installed a bunch of wells to pump water out and clean it and whatnot. And they don't do anything now. Like, they don't pollute.
Right,
nowadays.
You're talking
when they did, this was in like the 70s.
Yeah.
When they did first put those wells in, they were pulling, I think it was like 50 to 100 gallons a minute out of the ground of solid, like dark, dark blue liquid.
Ooh.
Like very bad. And they did that for 5 years, pulling that liquid out of the ground.
Non-stop.
Until they recovered, they made a full recovery.
Nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, those wells were just running nonstop. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
But they made a full recovery, and that's a lot better now.
That's good. Good on the company for them to
and then my other favorite fun fact about up in the UP is there's a lake in Calumet that I don't think people will go swimming in it, but there's a disc golf course right there, and sometimes people lose their discs in it, and they will wade into it to go get the disc, and it used to be the old Calumet sewer sluice.
Oh, that's so gross.
It's disgusting.
Does the lake still look nasty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So like, that whole lake is just a bed of shit.
Yeah. They got a sign on the front, you know, all around the lake. And warning, raw sewage. That's disgusting.
Sorry, got a little sidetracked.
No, you're good. But, yeah, winter sports, whatnot. Justin's staring at me. You want to talk about the new Prime Bows?
We can. Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, you don't care?
I don't care.
All right,
you want to talk about skiing, Justin?
I want to go skiing real bad. I got my piece of shit skis out of my parents' shed, and I'm ready to go. I tried my boots on. They fit.
Hell nice. Yeah.
So, don't know if they're going to explode or not, but it'll be fine.
We'll have
they're not that
there.
Old.
No? Okay.
No. No,
I
worked in the tune shop, the boots from like the 70s with the really wide toe that look like they're for, what's that called? Telemark skis.
Oh.
If they look like they're Telemark ski boots, but they're actually regular ski boots, those are the ones that explode.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'll be good.
Yep.
I only have one requirement when we go out. I'm going to have to go down moderate hill first.
You can go down a green circle first.
I'm not. No, a blue square. Blue square. I don't need to go down a green square, but I need or a green circle. I need to go down a blue square just to make sure. Like I have not been on the hill in I think 2 years. I don't think I've gone at all in the last 2 years.
I always used to do
Mine's
that.
Like, I don't think I've been in like 14.
I always used to. I would start out with a green circle, no matter how. You know, when I was working at Cabrafay, but then up at Tech, we went to Ripley like a few years. I think it was like the first 2 years. And then after that, we never really went. We'd always go to Bohemia. It's all black diamonds. So we'd start out with just a face run, no tree skiing or anything. And I'd get about a quarter of the way down. And I'm like, yep, I'm good. And I'd rip into the trees and start cruising around. And I'd freaking catch a tree with the tail of my skis or something and just tumble over. And I'm like, all right, I'm not back.
I'm just hoping I can get off the chairlift.
Yeah.
You're on skis. You're not on a snowboard.
Snowboard's way harder.
Oh, it is. That's why I went to skis.
The only thing for me is, like I said, because I haven't been on the ski hill in 2 years, I just want to make sure that I'm not going to, you know, that I can still maneuver the board and get comfortable with it. I'm sure after the first run I'll be fine. It's kind of like riding a bike. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It'll come back, but yeah. All right. Let's talk about bows. So, Justin, the 2025 Prime Form.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
I really want one.
Tell the people what it is.
I don't know. So basically, it's a regular bow, but it's got like carbon rods that connect the grip to like the limb pockets, which I didn't know. So I don't know if it was on their Instagram or something, but someone was talking about it. And if you take a cross section of the other carbon bows that are on the market,
mm-hmm.
they have aluminum inside of them. So
really?
in the handle section and by the limb pockets, they're reinforced with aluminum. So that's why, like, if you look at a you know, RX-8 or whatever, it's not that much lighter than a regular, than like your Matthews lifts and stuff.
Yeah.
They're not that much lighter than the aluminum bows because they still have aluminum in them. So what
The Prime is a hybrid.
The Prime is a hybrid. So it has aluminum where the parts that it needs the strength, but then everywhere that it doesn't, it has basically just carbon rods, which I admit it looks kind of goofy. Like until you,
what's the weight of it?
I think it was just over 4 pounds. So 4.1, and it's a 34-inch axle to axle.
So what's the advantage? It is. It's lighter weight, but I will admit the Matthews lift 33 is like 4.25 pounds.
Yeah. So you're not gaining that much.
So like what's the advantage of a carbon bow? Because the Hoyt guys would be like, oh, well, that carbon riser if you're hunting late season or whatever, which I could kind of get, but like also unless you're holding your bow all day, you don't need that. No. And also just wear a glove.
Yeah. Prime says that it's the vibration. So
I don't know if I buy that because I have not 100% admittedly have not shot the new form, but
I'm waiting for him to come to town. And then I'm going to go shoot them. I don't know when they're like Shooters or it's Shooters and Jays are the two prime dealers. I don't know when they're going to get them, but I want to go shoot them.
Yeah, I hope they let you just shoot them.
Hopefully. I mean, they are like $1,600, so like maybe they won't.
Right, but like pro shops will let you. Yeah. Like Gothiers would let you if they were a prime dealer. They'd let you just shoot it to see if it was something you like. Some of those guys get weird.
Jays might get weird because...
Jays and Shooters. Shooters isn't a pro shop.
That's true.
They're a you know, outdoor store.
Yeah.
You know, so that part kind of sucks. But I don't know. I would be very curious because in my experience with carbon bows, they vibrate more than the aluminum ones. So maybe they have a different type of carbon in there.
Yeah,
that is designed to be more vibration absorbent.
That I like, it's American made materials.
So yeah,
American made
cool.
bow with American made carbon. It's pretty sweet.
It is pretty cool.
I just don't know.
That's
if
part of the reason why it's $1,600.
Yeah, and that's like, I just don't know if I can spend $1,600 on a bow.
If you were buying a Hoyt, you'd pay $18 for a carbon bow.
I really want to, but
if you were buying a PSE, I think when the PSE carbon levitate came out, the bigger one, so it would have been the 34, or maybe it was called it wasn't the Mach 30. Anyway, the first iteration of that bow, I think, was $2,100 brand new.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So expensive. But the newer Matthews, like the lift, retails at like $1,300 or $1,400 as well.
Right.
It's not any cheaper.
No.
You know, $200 when you're dropping almost $3,000 on a bow,
right,
or north of $3,000, depending on what you put on it.
Yeah, so we'll see. I kind of wish they had a smaller axle-to-axle. I don't know if they're going to come out with one or not.
Is it only in 34?
It's only in 34 right now.
It doesn't make sense for you.
No, like because I have my, you know, my prime or whatever is a 33.
The black?
The black.
Yeah.
And
the weight would be nice. It would be noticeably lighter.
It would be very noticeable on that. And my bow is heavy. Like it's...
There's some things you could do for that. The riser definitely, like, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
You could switch to carbon stabilizers as opposed to titanium. That would give it a little bit lighter weight.
Right.
Shoot with the quiver off. That'll save you a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, your site probably has, you know, whatever. You might have 2 pounds worth of accessories on the bow.
Yeah.
But if your bow weighs 5 pounds and then you put 2 pounds on it, now you've got a 7 pound bow. Versus right. if it's 4 pounds and you put 1.5 pounds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's like, I don't know. I've always liked carbon stabilizers. I don't have anything against, like, if you're running titanium or something like that. But for, like, hunting purposes, I don't want to walk a mile with a 8 pound bow. That's just terrible.
Right.
That's why I hate my Traverse. You know, it's 33 inches axle, and the bow weighs like 7.5 pounds dressed. It's terrible to walk around in the woods with. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But if I... I shouldn't say if. When I get that new lift, 27 3/4 inches axle, that's tiny.
That's crazy. That's a small bow.
It's cute, though. It's giving me the goo-goo eyes sitting on the shelf there.
Why haven't you bought it yet?
I'm waiting for it. The color I want is the new color from Matthews. It's called... I think it's called Shale or something like that. It's basically just like a gunship gray.
Oh yeah.
But it's their newest color. So I know that the dealers are going to get at least a couple of bows in that color, but the RS is like it's still the flagship bow, but it's, you know, different cuz it's not...
What's
33
the RS stand for? Really small.
Probably, yeah. That's the first thing that came to my head. No, it has something to do with, like, the speed or something like that. So, anyway, as soon as the RS, once they get through, like, the 33 and the 29.5s and those shipments go out,
yeah,
they're going to send out a shipment of the RS. Once Gothiers gets that, I'm going to go get the bow.
Yeah.
Because I also have to have an A-mod on it, and the A-mod's the most uncommon because on the big bows... The A-mod is either 31.5 on the 33, or it's, I think, 30.5 on the 29.5. Like, it's the longest draw,
yeah,
and the heaviest poundage. And so on the RS, that's only 29 inches at 80 pounds.
Right.
But on a Lift X33... That's 31.5 inches of draw at 80 pounds. So it's just a heavier mod that is not super common. Most guys buying bows are going to be like 28 to 30 inches of draw, and they're probably only pulling 70 or 75. Most guys won't pull 80.
No.
But I'm doing it like basically, it's kind of an experiment. I can't tell you that I'm going to shoot 80 pounds forever out of that bow. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I can do it, and like, let's just see how fast we can get a 470 grain arrow moving.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's going to be cooking.
Yeah, it'll be fast.
I think at 75 pounds on a 29.5 inch bow, I can get a 470 grain arrow out of the Matthews lift. I get a 475 grain arrow, whatever, somewhere around there. Going like 310, 315.
Ooh.
I think at 80 pounds, I might have to go from 85 to 75% let off to get it there, but I want to touch 320. I think that'd be really sweet.
We got to get a chronograph.
Yeah, I'll get one.
Will you?
I'll get one. Yeah, probably not like a super fancy one, but like a Caldwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably get one. Because I want to... test my bow speeds. The other thing I want to test is for broadhead testing.
Yeah.
So you can have consistent speeds.
Right.
But no, it's a really interesting concept. I mean, they have their new aluminum bow as well.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one's called.
I don't remember either. But you know, just typical prime, like, I don't want to shit on your brand here, but Prime makes a solid bow. I don't think anybody's like super blown away by it. Maybe the form's going to be a game changer, and that's like their first dip into like, holy cow, this brand is like out there.
Yeah, I think the only thing that they've like really, that's really different is they have the center grip.
Or the inline series with four cams. That's different.
Yeah. Well, that's how mine is. Mine has... It's the dual cam.
What do they call it? Well, yeah, it's... It could technically be quad cam, right? So... I don't. What do they call it, though?
The inline is when they went back to single cam, I think. But they had, like, the synergy. It was, like, the whole synergy thing.
Yeah. The center grip is cool, though. It's a very interesting concept that more bow brands don't do that.
Yeah.
Because realistically, it's like, well, what makes more sense? Is your hand supposed to be in the center of the bow, or should the arrow be in the center of the bow?
Right. And that's what's weird is when you look at it, the top and the bottom string, like, it's not, they're different lengths. It's weird.
The top and bottom string. What are you talking about?
So, like, if you take, because your hand's in the center of the bow.
So your center serving is what we're talking
about?
Yeah.
So the arrow, the distance between the arrow and the top.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
you know, the top cam or whatever. It's,
yeah, you're like 2 inches shorter up top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I think that's why it holds so steady. It's because your hand's at the center.
The bottom weight, yeah, mm-hmm. Could be. They do hold really well.
Yeah.
Longer axle-to-axle bows will do. Oh, longer riser bows will do that too.
Right.
Because I've shot the target bows from Hoyt and Matthews, and they both held really well.
Oh yeah.
I didn't. Solid. I will put this out there publicly. I do not like the draw cycle of the Hoyt target bows. At least from a couple years ago, it was. What was that bow called? Like the Stratos or something like that. Hmm. That draw cycle was awful. Their hunting bows, like, I loved the RX-7 Ultra. It was one of the best shooting bows I had ever shot. But I didn't want to drop $1,800 on a new bow, and it was 34 inches axle to axle. I already had the Traverse at 33.
Right.
It just didn't make sense to buy it. But I loved the draw cycle of that bow. That year, so that would have been, what, 2 years ago now, they had also come out with a new target bow, and I hated it. It was not comfortable to shoot.
Huh. That's interesting.
It held well on target, but the draw cycle was weird.
Yeah.
The back wall on the Matthews target bows, though, is, like, unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, because the cams aren't built for speed.
Yeah.
And so the further you get away on your draw stop, like Matthew's bows are cable stop.
Yeah.
And so the further you get away from that axle, basically where the limb is at, the sloppier or spongier that back wall is going to be. And so on the hunting bows, they have to make that module get as tight to the bow as possible to keep that solid back wall. Even though it has giant cams. I mean, the cams on the new Matthews bows are huge.
Yeah.
They're like 6-inch diameter, maybe even bigger.
Wow.
But the target cams are, you know, half that because they don't need to be built for speed. That's not the purpose.
Right.
And so they just hold so much better, and the back wall is unbelievable. It's like, so granted, a lot of those target bows are 75 or sometimes even lower on the let-off side for more holding weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I shot, I think it was the TRX 38 from Matthews G2. So this would have been like the 2019 or 2020 edition. But it was like pulling back at, you know, this is like 50 pound target bow or whatever. It was like drawing a 50-pound longbow almost, and then it got a little bit easier in the back, and then all of a sudden it hits a brick wall. There was no bouncing off the back wall, none of that, no. No valley. It was just smooth, boom, I'm done, locked out.
Wow.
Right there.
That sounds cool.
Dude, it was so comfortable to shoot. If I had an extra $2,000, I might buy one. But I don't know. Something about that. I wish they could bring some of that technology to the hunting world and kind of like mesh the two.
Right.
But they're purpose built, you know, so it's like, what do you really want?
Right.
And those bows are heavy. You want to talk about a heavy bow.
Yeah.
You get into a target bow, nobody cares about saving weight. It's like, how do we make this thing structure and vibration absorbent for sure?
Yeah, just stable.
The more aluminum, super stable. that's the other thing that sucks about a light boat is it's going to move around in the wind.
Yeah.
People don't realize, like, that wind will get you, especially at full draw when you've got that boat as far away from your body as you can, basically. Right. You got big stabilizers on there and stuff. Unless you have a lot of weight, it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving a lot. So.
Yeah. So we'll see if I buy one or not.
We all know you're not going to.
Yeah, probably not. But you never know.
I'd be happy for you if you did. If it was like 28, even 30 inches axle to axle. Because what's your black? Is it 33?
It's 33, yeah.
Yeah, so honestly, even at 30 inches axle to axle, I'd be like, hey, like, you might want to consider buying that. But yeah. At 34, man, that... And it's nothing against you, but like...
I just don't think it'd be that different.
What are you, 5'7"?
5'9".
Okay, my bad.
5'8½.
Doubt it.
He's 5'5", at least. Anyway. What's your draw length? Do you know your draw length?
I was actually just thinking about this the other day, and I don't on a compound.
Okay. My point is... 34 inch axle to axle bow with your draw length. You're not a super tall dude.
I have a pretty long draw length though. I draw 30 inches on a long bow.
Yeah, but you're probably only drawing 27 on a compound.
No.
We'll see. We can measure it. I think actually we might have measured it once.
I don't think we did, but I know what I'd have to look because my prime I can switch around or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I just have to look at what setting it's at.
Yeah. Oh, I did shoot. I bet it's 20. It's probably 28. Might be 29. Anyway, regardless,
yeah.
On a 34-inch axle-to-axle bow, you're not getting the horsepower out of that bow that you should be.
Right.
If I had to guess, they can't make a shorter version of that bow.
Yeah, I don't know.
That or they just don't think it matters to have a shorter bow.
Right.
I love it.
Well, they have, like, in the Black Series, I mean, I know they have different lengths for the newer ones or whatever, but I think they had the 30, 32, and then...
Is yours 32 or 33?
But I think they had three different sizes. Mine's 33.
Why did you go with the 33 if they had the shorter?
It was in the middle. They had shorter, and then they had longer.
Okay, so they and had so they the had like a 30, a 33, and then like a 36 or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. So that must be a hybrid bow then, designed for hunting in 3D?
Yeah, I don't really know. I didn't do a whole ton of research into it.
You just saw that it was Michigan made and made in the U.S.? Uh-huh. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Then I was like, oh, that one's in the middle. I'll get that one.
I mean, it's worked out. The bows had... It works great in both applications. You shoot it well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to step away from something like that. I get it.
Yeah, I like it. It does everything I need it to do.
Yeah,
I don't need a new one.
You don't, but it's fun. Yeah. I don't need a new hunting bow. I didn't even shoot a deer with my bow this year.
Yeah, me either. I haven't even went out bow hunting this year.
What?
I know. It's bad.
The last time I went out, I don't think it was last weekend. I think it was the weekend before. I sat Sunday night, and I didn't see shit. But that was it last weekend? It was snowing and blowing. It might have been last weekend.
Yeah.
Whatever day it was snowing and blowing like crazy. I'm like, I don't care if I don't see anything. Like, I need to get out. I have not sat in a long time. Just been so caught up. You know, after Thanksgiving, like... had some personal life stuff happen. And like, I just gotta grandparents are getting older. Like, I gotta help out in other areas. I just haven't had the free time that I wish I did.
Yeah, I've had shit planned every weekend for a
while. Yeah, it's hard, like,
I just haven't had any time.
The reality is, like, you want my honest answer? I just don't want it enough. Like, I would love to shoot a big deer. It's awesome. Like, I applaud guys that can do it every year, but, like, I also don't want to give up my whole life just to shoot a big deer because I have to go chase it. You know, so it's awesome when you have a setup where, you know, had we, let's say one of us owned a big piece of property and we were able to, for the past 3 years, you know, grow some big bucks out there and we had opportunities at stuff like that. But like, I had one picture of a decent buck this year and he got shot during rifle season.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, I'm not motivated because I know based off of when I sit, plus I have cameras up, I know there's not much out there other than does. Right. And I've got meat in the freezer.
Did Scott get all the does that he wanted to off that property?
No, he didn't. He wants some more. So if you guys want some late antler lists, let's go after it.
Yeah, I'd say let's go.
Yeah, I think that's a better option for me rather than driving to Cadillac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with the bow. Like, if we can go out there with the bow.
I want to get one with my bow. You know? So I'm going to hunt late antler list with my bow. It's going to be tricky because there's not a lot of spots set up, but I think I'm going to sit where I did for early antler lists and just sit with my bow a couple times and see if I can smack one.
Otherwise, I might go out this weekend with a muzzleloader. I think
is it still muzzleloader?
I think it's still season. If it's not, I got to look. I might not even be able to go out, so.
It's getting tricky, man. It's getting real tricky.
The thing that I found that's been a pain in the ass is I can't get in the woods in my spot. There's nowhere to park. Like, it's just plowed roads.
Yeah, 'cause you have a car.
I know. It's a piece of shit. Like, it's really bumming me out.
That Corolla will go anywhere.
It'll go anywhere until you need to park in a snowbank.
Yeah. Fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's really been a bummer. But I think I have a plan of how I can go out. I just have to hunt around people.
Yeah. That sucks, too. Don't give me that look. I got a pretty girl texting me. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. The season lulls, basically, I guess, is what I would call that.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay motivated when you're not finding success.
Right. Well, I think the other thing is it just gets busy as soon as rifle season starts. You got Thanksgiving, and then everyone's running around like a chicken with their head cut off as Christmas gets closer.
Well, and Thanksgiving was 3 weeks out from...
Company and family Christmas parties and friends' Christmas parties and...
Yeah, and Thanksgiving was 3 weeks out from
Christmas,
basically.
Then actual Christmas, right. And then you got New Year's.
Yeah, I am going squirrel hunting this weekend. I'm going to take my kid out and go wander around the woods. And
22 or shotgun?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
I need an excuse to shoot my shotgun.
I was thinking 22, but maybe I will go shotgun.
Yeah, Nick, you still got to shoot the 12-gauge, don't you?
Shoot your 12-gauge, sure.
Yeah.
All right, we should do that after this.
No. It's dark.
Yeah, dude, let's do it.
It's dark. It's late. We're going to be wrapping this up here soon.
Every time I've gotten one of my friends to shoot the 12-gauge, it's been dark out.
Not me.
And a bad decision. Nah, well, you're not my friend.
Is that something you want to put on the podcast?
What?
That you're shooting it when it's dark out. I don't think it's illegal to shoot it in the dark, but...
I don't think so. You can shoot coyotes at night, can't you?
Well, you're on private property, though, so I don't know how that works on state land or ranges and stuff. Plus, it's deer season.
Yeah,
right
state
now,
land,
so.
Definitely a no-go to shoot guns at night.
Private property?
Private property, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Well, especially if it's just target practice and you got it like the range lit up or whatever, like you're probably fine. I don't know, though. Might have to check on that. Regardless, yes, I'll shoot the shotgun. I'll put a turkey load in there. I don't care. I'm not afraid of your shotgun.
Oh, I got slugs.
Turkey, ask Keegan. Turkey shell's going to kick harder than a slug.
Yeah, it will most of the time. Those turkey loads are no joke.
What, do you have 1 ounce slugs?
No, I think they're 3 ounce.
3 ounce slug?
No, they're not.
No?
It's probably like an ounce and 5/8 or something.
I gotta go look at it.
I'd be surprised if it was an ounce and 5/8. Most 12-gauge slugs that I've been able to find are either 3/4 or 1 ounce.
Yeah.
But my turkey loads are 1.25 ounces. And that's in a 3-inch shell.
Did you shoot the 10-gauge when I had it out?
No. I have shot it. That first shotgun.
You brought that out when we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you and I both agreed that the 12 kicked harder.
Your 12 kicks harder.
No, the first
the
shotgun.
The 10 gauge is so heavy. Like, it's got lead weights.
Yeah, that too.
The first shotgun I ever shot.
That's the difference between shooting your nice 10 gauge and my $100 12 gauge.
Yeah.
The first shotgun I ever shot was
a 12 gauge kicks.
10 gauge, and I shot double op buck out of it.
Really?
It was not very fun. But I was also 13.
Yeah. So only like 180 pounds?
No, 13. I would have been like 120.
First actual gun that I shot was my dad's 20 gauge. And I think I was probably right around 7 or 8. So I weighed all of 50 or 60 pounds.
Oh, yeah. My first.
And that
my
thing
first
kicked so hard.
Gauge.
Like, I was scared of guns.
Dude, I was probably 6. My dad let me shoot his 22. He sat on the ground with his knees up. And I sat like in his lap, basically, and rested the gun here and shot off of his knee, shooting 22.
My dad filled a metal coffee can with sand, set it up on laid it down on the ground, and we shot the bottom side of it with. He drew a target on it, but he was like, yeah, he ain't going to hit it, you know.
Yeah.
And we were just standing up, and he had to shoot it. And, you know, gun just about knocks us over.
Yep. I'd be interested for you guys to shoot my shotgun because I feel like it kicks pretty hard. It has a comfort.
It's a semi-auto, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also inertia-driven. Oh. It's like a Benelli.
Yeah.
So it's going to kick harder than like a Winchester SXP or something like that.
Right.
It's light though.
Have a clay pigeon day.
Yeah. I have a 28 inch barrel on it. Plus it has a red dot on it right now because it's set up for turkey hunting. So
I've shot clays with a red dot before.
I do. It's just like, it's kind of like cheating. I will admit I can shoot it with a bead though. If you want to test me, I'll outshoot you with a bead. And you can use my red dot.
Dude, I doubt
shotgun.
That.
I promise you I'll shoot you.
I 100% doubt that.
I am unbelievable at shooting clays.
I've never shot.
I will be that arrogant prick.
Really?
I am really good at shooting clays.
Huh.
In the past, I don't know, 4 times I've gone out. I mean, yeah, Jake and I are
good at shooting clays. Why don't you do it competitively then?
I don't know if I could do it skipping across the ground like that, like shooting trap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And like, yeah, I would look into it. I would do it if they're like flying overhead.
There's sporting clay leagues.
I don't know if I could do it running across the ground like that.
Yeah, because you did it for a little while, didn't you? And you got made fun of for having a red dot.
No, I didn't have the red dot there. But I have shot sporting clays a couple
if
times.
First of all, I didn't do the league.
My dad.
If I was going to do that, I would get a different shotgun for that.
Yeah.
I don't want to shoot my shotgun 400 times in a day. Like, no. It's also camo, so.
You just look like a nerd.
Look like a total nerd. Like I said, that gun is set up for turkey hunting. That was pretty much why I bought that gun. That's why there is a red dot on it. If I was a big duck hunter, I wouldn't hunt with the red dot.
I got to tell you something after the podcast.
Okay.
Has to do with sporting clays and shooting stuff.
The only thing I'll say about the trap before we wrap this up, when it's bouncing across the ground,
yeah,
that's the part that for me gets difficult because, I don't know, flying through the air is like a straight line, but if it's moving up and down as well as traveling in a linear motion, like that might fuck me up.
Have you ever shot a running deer?
No.
Oh.
No. No. This early antlerless, so I shot 3 deer early antlerless.
Yeah.
I've only shot 5 deer with the rifle before, and I shot 3 of them this year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I haven't had any, and they're all does. I've never shot a buck with a rifle. I've never shot a buck with anything but my Matthews Creed. That's crazy to think about.
Huh.
So, yeah, well, is what it is.
On that note.
Right. Okay, let's do one last. Let's do one last thing here. I want to get your guys' opinion on Christmas candy. You guys know what ribbon candy is?
Yep.
I don't know if I do.
It's like hard candy, but they weave it into a ribbon.
Yeah, it's kind of
so
like
it's hard, but it's ribbony.
It's like hard like a candy cane, but it's like in the shape of a ribbon.
Oh. It's just like
it's like wavy.
Oh, I see.
Jared, overrated or underrated?
Ribbon candy?
Yeah.
Overrated.
Really?
I don't really see the appeal to it.
It's kind of just like cool. Maybe it's nostalgia.
Eat a candy cane.
They're not all peppermint. Like you could get.
Yeah, I know they're not.
Well, candy canes aren't either. Yeah, that's fair. All right, I'll shut up.
I like the chocolate oranges.
Oh, those are good.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, I love those.
It's like Valentine's Day. You know, like you get the chocolates, you take a bite of one, and it's got like the orange cream filling. Dude, I hate that shit.
Really?
Yes, it's so bad.
Oh, I like orange, so.
Yeah, I know you do. Your cooler's orange.
No, but like also the flavor.
I know. I know
I like
what you're saying.
I like the color and I like the flavor.
I cut the metal. I weld the metal. All right. You want to say something?
What about you, Justin?
For what, Christmas candy?
Yeah.
I like Andy's mints.
That's is that a Christmas thing?
Candy. It's not. It's always been a Christmas candy in my family.
Nick and I at least gave like a real Christmas thing.
You can get Andy's mints from Olive Garden any time of
Justin,
year.
Justin likes the candy cane things filled up with little shooters.
No.
Oh, dude. When the candy cane tubes is like full of M&Ms or something, that's fucking hell yeah, dude. That's not
I remember
I don't
when
think
my
I have
sister
any, like,
turned.
Specific candy that I.
There's not a lot of it. Like. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of, I don't know. What's your favorite Christmas dessert then?
Apple strudel.
Apple strudel. That's
because
cool.
It takes forever to make, and I only get it once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have any of those either. That's like Christmas specific.
No, not like a pie or a monkey bread or something that only happens at Christmas. Didn't you say you only make monkey bread at Christmas?
No, that was me.
That was you.
Yeah, monkey bread and apple strudel.
Dude, monkey bread is
monkey bread's shit. Quick though.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't take that long to make.
Apple strudel's just a freaking pain.
I guess
you
like
guys
pumpkin,
know how that's
pumpkin
made.
Pumpkin rolls are pumpkin, not really a
dog.
Christmas thing, but
you
I
can,
always
you
for
can
my
buy
birthday
Little Debbie pumpkin rolls.
Yeah, but those things suck. Like the homemade pumpkin rolls. Like
yeah,
I always get them for my birthday.
Uh huh.
Because I really like them or whatever people, and that's like, you know, my birthday's right around Christmas time, so yeah. Like, I don't know.
Double like a, Christmas.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet. All right. Let's wrap this up here.
I remember one last thing.
Go ahead.
I remember my sister, she turned 21, and those candy cane tubes.
Yeah.
They make adult versions full of shooters, right?
Uh-huh.
I remember she turned 21, and
got
my parents,
a fireball.
My parents got her one of those candy cane tubes with shooters in it. And I'm 18, so I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I can't wait to get one of those when I'm 21. I've never gotten one. I'm
really?
Still mad about it.
Wow.
What kind of alcohol would have to be in it for you to be satisfied? Like, if it was Fireball, would you be
I
happy?
Don't care.
Just the
I will
the
say,
idea.
In my like, my parents are, we have fun on Christmas Day, you know, and I think our stocking usually has... I want to say it's like 4 to 6 different shooters in it.
Really?
Usually they're like those flavored, like the flavored cream moonshine things. And
dude, I've never got booze on Christmas.
Like Old Smoky and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
And it's funny because we'll be like halfway into opening gifts under the tree and we're just like already doing shooters and stuff.
I'm going to have to remember that. This like my coffee on Christmas morning, I'm going to put peppermint schnapps in it or something.
Yeah. Then you get the mimosas while you're opening up presents.
Oh, mimosas too.
We don't. Maybe my family's weird, but we don't drink on Christmas morning.
I've never drank on Christmas
That's
morning.
Fun. Yeah, it's like straight out of the Christmas movie, A Christmas Story.
Huh. Yeah.
You ever pay
attention? He's drinking a glass of wine.
Yeah, dude. They're
no, that was later in the
chugging
night,
wine.
Wasn't it?
No, it's while they're opening gifts. Christmas morning. Parents
it's like
are just
6:50 in the morning. He's just half bottle deep already.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not like that.
Hold on.
That's after the grandparents come over and have breakfast.
We gotta settle this right fucking now.
Best Christmas movie?
Oh, we could do that too. But when you guys, as kids, and you can test this with your kid, Justin. When you get up in the morning, was it we're awake and immediately run out and start opening gifts? Or is it like you got to make sure your parents are awake and then they go like, you know, you got to wait for your parents.
We always set a time. Like
really?
For Christmas Eve, we're like, okay, we're getting up at 7 or we're getting up at 6:30. Because like a lot of times I wouldn't sleep. So I'd wake up at 4 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd just lay in bed and I'd just watch that clock.
I was terrible.
And you couldn't even scroll TikTok at that time.
No.
I would wake up super early as well. My parents were smart about it so that they could actually get some sleep. They'd be like, all right, we'll be up by 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, as we got older, the time got later. But they'd be like, we can start the tree gifts at, you know, this time. And they would always start it and then we'd go in a rotation, blah, blah, blah. But the deal was we could wake up whenever we wanted, as long as it wasn't at 2 in the morning or whatever, and we were allowed to open up our stocking, because our stocking would have candy in it, and then it would have, like, 2, maybe 3 small gifts. Like,
it'd be like a set of Legos or something.
Yeah, it'd be like a small set of Legos or, like, chapstick or something like that. You know, nothing, like, nothing super important, but it's just something to entertain us and something to open, you know?
But you weren't, like... I'm going to run downstairs, tear open all of the gifts, and my parents are just going to, like, wake up to us opening gifts, like, randomly. Because we've always gone in a rotation, too. Yeah. But I know of people who, like, that's what they did. They're just, like, run to their parents' room, wake up their parents, run downstairs, and just start opening shit. It's like, how is that even possible?
Mine is always the youngest goes first. My brother always gets the first gift. And then after that, it's just whoever opened the gift goes and picks the next gift, and whoever's name on it opens it.
So we never do. I don't think we did a rotation. We might have a couple years, but usually it's just a free-for-all. But
We'll
wait until 7 o'clock.
Everyone is opening them at the same time, but it's just as fast or as slow as you want to go.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Interesting. Yeah, we go in a rotation, and the problem is we'll have, like, 15 people at the house.
Oh,
and
shit.
Then it takes fucking forever. Like, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but, like, you wake up, like, especially as we get older, we start Christmas at, like, 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, I get up for work at 5 a.m., 5:30, you know, somewhere in there. If I wake up at 7 and we're doing Christmas morning or whatever, we get to 8 or 9 o'clock, like, I'm ready to eat. Like, I don't want to, like...
Yeah,
I don't want to be that guy and sound like ungrateful or disrespectful, but like, let's take a break, go get some breakfast, and we'll come back to this. Like,
we always do, like Christmas, like you know, when we were living at home, or when I was living at home or whatever.
Yeah,
we would do. It's just me and my sister and my parents, and then now
everybody comes over later.
Everyone comes over later, so now we do it like every family does their own Christmas with their kids. And then we'll go to my parents' house at, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock.
We would always do, like, family Christmas parties and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, like, the week before or whatever. And then Christmas Day, everyone's just with their family. Like, we wouldn't have other people over.
We had, like...
The only thing we do is, like,
aunts, uncles, my grandparents,
we'd
cousins.
Start opening around 7:30, and then we'd be done, you know, at a reasonable time. It would take a while, because, yeah, we're going in a rotation, we got 5 people or whatever. And then we also, when we had a dog, she would get gifts too.
Oh, yeah.
And she knows how to open them.
Yeah.
So, and it's, obviously, she takes a little longer, but it's like the coolest thing ever. It's funny, right? And then I think it was like always around 10 or 11, we would have brunch with the grandparents. But
yeah.
So, you know, it takes a while, which is also the reason that, you know, you get a little shooter in there and whatnot.
I will say my mom usually has like some sort of like grab and go. Breakfast.
Yeah.
Like my grandmother makes a pumpkin bread. My mom will usually make like her homemade bread for like toast and shit or whatever. So there's something. But I forgot where I was going with that other bit there. Oh, the dog. My mom will wrap our dog's gift in a certain way where it's just like in a spiral, because there just has to be like one little tab, and he'll grab it in his mouth and he just flings his head back and forth and it'll unwrap the whole thing.
Oh, we would so like funny. Legit wrap the gift, and really? The dog would chew and paw at it and like paw the paper open and chew little bits off of it and stuff. It was cool.
That's awesome.
She could be really dumb sometimes. She was also pretty smart.
Right on.
But
yeah. Best Christmas movie, by the way, is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
I'll die on that.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or Jim Carrey Grinch.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I can accept that.
Because it's just a funny movie. I can quote every line of it.
The powder's bitching. All right. If you enjoyed this menagerie of a podcast, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram, KnoxAndNature_podcast. It'll be written in the description below. We appreciate everyone for listening. We'll catch you in the next one.